What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Oh, hi. If you like this show, will you leave a review for it wherever you listen to podcasts? You don't even have to write anything. Just some stars will do. It's one of the most effective ways to spread the word about us and one of the most meaningful ways to show your support for what we do. We are so grateful. Okay, here's the show. Welcome to A Thing or Two, a deep dive into stuff we think more people should know about. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. To share your thoughts on this episode or anything really, leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463 or DM us on Instagram at A Thing or Two HQ.
Join our Geneva. Why not?
Join our Geneva.
Do all of these things.
A thing I encountered recently that I thought was a sort of like useful framing, mm-hmm. You know, those like little useful like catchphrases, yeah. Whatever, is, oh, I'm JV. As in junior varsity.
Yes. Not to be confused with joint venture.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sarah Peterson has a Substack called In Pursuit of Clean Countertops, which is a great name in mm-hmm. general. And she says, to be JV is to embrace one's mediocrity while also being clear about what one can offer. It's deliberately opting out of what you suck at / dislike and opting into what you're good at / enjoy. The JV lifestyle is all about ease, about comfort, about shortcuts, about doing the bare minimum and still reaping the maximum amount of joy. It's about being good but not great, about doing well but not the best. It's about giving less shits about details and more shits about critical factors like, oh, people. Because ultimately, striving depletes those of us wired as JV players. It robs us of peace, well-being, and connection.
It's a very useful thing to think about. As soon as you introduced me to it, I was like, oh, yes, I'm aware of several things that fall into that category. For me,
I really like this idea of like intentional mediocrity.
Yes.
And embracing that mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. certain things. And it relates to that idea of drop the ball. Who wrote that?
Tiffany Dufu.
Yeah.
Who's just, it's a great book and a great framework for thinking about how to get everything done or not get everything done.
Exactly.
And in a way that plagues more women, I would say.
Another one of our favorite go-to catchphrases of the last year or so is I'm not on that committee, which mm-hmm. is like just fully bowing out.
Yep.
Like mm-hmm. like I'm showing myself the door on this
yep.
one.
Yep.
It's more of just like I'm not giving it my all.
Yes.
Yeah.
The morning of the day that you introduced me to this, I was staring at this indoor tree that I have had for so long that has always been so sad and I refuse to get rid of it because it's always half alive. And I was just like, I'm just never going to be good at indoor plants and that's fine. I'm just never going to be
someone. You're a JV gardener.
I'm a JV gardener, indoor and outdoor plants. And I just, it's not something that really thrills me. And so I'm fine with having some sad plants in my life.
I'm also a JV gardener.
Thomas
but
is,
you really are. Well, I live with a varsity gardener is the thing.
Well, but you care a lot about your indoor plants.
Yeah. But like, how does that care show itself? I talk to them, I name them, but do I take care of them? No, not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They just, anyway, that's a JV thing for me. I'm totally fine with it because it hits both of what she says. Both I am both not that good at it and it doesn't bring me that much joy.
What are other things that you are JV about?
Sports, yeah. Both participating in and spectating. Even running, which I'm quite dedicated to. I'm not striving to be good at it. I'm just striving to do it consistently.
Yeah.
I don't need to be good at it though. Baking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I will make mm-hmm. muffins for my kid. And that's about it.
I do like your approach to baking. I liked watching you and Cam make muffins
because
together.
I was like, sure, we'll put that in it.
Yeah. It was a bit like, it didn't feel so far removed from like playing with Play-Doh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it feels like a little bit like.
Because I make muffins that like, where it's like, there's like four general ingredient categories. It's like you need a sweetener and that's usually overripe banana. You need some sort of a fiber thing. So that's usually oats. And then you want to put shredded carrots, apples, and then we put some eggs. And
be my guest.
Yeah. Cinnamon, sure. Ground up almonds, fine.
Totally.
And then my other one, it might be I'm not on that committee, to be honest. I don't even know if I made the team at all. But if I did make the team.
Did you go out for the team?
Yeah, I don't know. I went to preseason and then I quit. Imaginative play.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I would feel the same about you if Imaginative Play were asking for my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your JV sports?
In addition to the plants thing, photography of just like trying to take a nice, I've just given up on trying to take a nice picture. Because I feel like for a while there was just so much pressure around it.
Right.
Like as a culture to take a nice picture. Yeah. And now I'm like, no, I just don't do that. I don't care. Yeah. Skiing.
Yes. Again, something you do quite a lot of.
Something. And I like enjoy it also to a point. And but like I'm not trying to like get really good at it. I'm not forcing myself to do like the hard things. This is not a thing of like constant improvement.
Yeah.
It is just not that for me.
Yep.
And then this one. And, you know, I think that there's a question of whether this is like a hobby or a thing that you can be JB about. But loading the dishwasher.
It's really funny. I think for a lot of people, it is a sport, loading the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Or a skill or a hobby, depending on how you look at it.
I have no interest in improving.
Yeah.
I have no interest in seeking guidance. I'm certain there is a right way and I don't care what it is.
Yep.
My goal is just going to be put them in there and then get them out.
That's right. That's the best goal.
Yeah. Should we bring our guest on?
Let's do it. We are so excited to have Samita Mukhopadhyay on the podcast today. Welcome, Samita. Samita is a writer and editor who covers feminism, politics, culture, fashion, existential dating dilemmas, incredibly critical category, and racial justice, also a critical category. She is the editorial director of The Meteor, the former executive editor of Teen Vogue, co-editor of the best-selling anthology Nasty Women, Feminism, Resistance, and the Revolution in Trump's America, and the author of Outdated, Why Dating is Ruining Your Love Life. Can I also ask, are you the future author of something that we're able to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell us about
it? Yeah, yeah. It's a book called The Myth of Making It, and it's a memoir about my career, but also kind of a reported memoir looking at women in the workplace.
Oh my gosh.
I'm very excited.
I feel like people have a very clear sense of why we love Samita and why we've been following her work for a long time. You know
when is
mean?
The book coming out?
June 18th.
Yeah. Cool. We have a date. Soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last time we talked to you, it didn't have a date. Oh my God. I can't wait to read it.
I know. It is soon. It felt like forever for so long. And now I'm like, that's tomorrow.
Yeah. It is tomorrow.
You have a really good radio voice, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah. Totally.
Can you tell us a little bit about The Meteor?
Yeah. So it is the brainchild of Cindy Levy, who is the former editor-in-chief of Glamour. And a
long time editor.
Long time
editor. And legendary
love
editor.
Absolutely. Yes, Cindy. Absolutely. Yeah. And we actually never overlapped at Condé, but we had like always heard of each other and I had looked up to her for so long. But she got together with a group of her most feminist friends in Gloria Steinem's apartment. And they were like,
we go.
Do you think that the Sex in the City, that episode where they all got together in Gloria Steinem's apartment, I feel like it was based off of whatever this was.
It's so funny because I wasn't at the Meteor founding meeting, but so many people messaged me after that. And they were like, I think this is like your life. Like somebody like stole this from your journal and like put it in the episode, which is perfect because I think they actually have a bunch of feminist writers.
They did. It was And Just Like That, not Sex in the City.
That's right.
You know, X, formerly known as Twitter, And Just Like That, formerly known as Sex in the City. Right. There's this plotline. I can't even remember what the objective was, but they all get together in Gloria Steinem's apartment, all these older feminists, basically. And Sarah Jessica Parker. My God, why can't I talk? Carrie is present for some reason.
Yeah, well, they ask her for money, right? She's because now she's, you know,
a podcast host
sitting on
and it's
Biz fortune.
Right. And it's the Vogue editor in chief who has invited her, the Candace Bergen character.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like,
now that I've done a terrible job.
To be an Anna, but I don't think so.
Yeah. Like, but doesn't no, read it. It doesn't read like an Anna. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
anyway. Okay. So this is the legendary founding story of
yes,
The Meteor.
Yes.
Okay.
So they, you know, do a series of kind of different types of feminist media, from podcasts to a newsletter to events, which you two got to speak at, which we had the honor of having you both.
Yes. So
it was
good.
Truly one of the most impressive, well-executed, well-done version of that type of event.
Oh,
it was a conference
you.
And it with incredible speakers and just very well done.
Yeah. And the audience was so engaged.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Really
exactly.
Well done.
They loved you guys.
Oh, good. And so you're running the show over there now.
Well, I'm the editorial. not that crazy.
The show.
Yeah.
You're running the show. Yeah.
I'm the editorial
director.
The content show. Exactly.
What do you like the most about this?
I love the events.
Yeah.
I do. I think that I've done so much on-page editorial work for so many years, writing, editing, editorial directing, but to actually see it come to life in a different way is such a different type of brain power.
Yes. That's interesting.
Where you're kind of trying to create these experiences and you want to set people up to be their best self and share their work in the best way.
Yeah.
And so I've really enjoyed getting involved in that part kind of editorial work.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about the like way that that translates and the like different, the different opportunities that creates for you to think about it. Yeah.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, girl, hey, welcome to Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Strecker. You might know me from SiriusXM Radio. I mean, I was there for like 12 years after all. But then Howard Stern allegedly got jealous of me, so I had to leave. I was actually able to pull myself up by the bootstraps and start my own podcast, Taste of Taylor, which is now officially with Dear Media. I'm so excited to say that. Ha! So I promise you, in this podcast, you're going to either learn about something, you're going to be inspired by someone that's like always coming from a perspective of like humor, then this is the place for you. I hope you enjoy this little snack.
Did you bring any thingies for us?
Oh, I brought a bunch of thingies.
Oh my God. Great.
Okay. These are some things that I'm obsessed with right
Perfect.
Now.
Perfect. Please tell us.
Ranavat hair oil.
No, tell us
it's
everything.
It's like this South Asian woman who's a chemist.
Ooh.
And she's designed hair care and skin products, like specifically for South Asian skin and hair.
Yeah.
And she has this hair oil and it's just, I don't know, it smells amazing. And I've been having all this frizz and it's solved my frizz issue and made my hair soft. So I'm obsessed with it. This is my other favorite thing. So I found love this year.
Oh my God. We love love.
Congratulations.
And, you and yours.
And thank you.
And you're wearing his Super Bowl ring.
And he gave me his high school class ring.
Stop.
Like, it was kind of as a joke.
There's
but
nothing better. This is so good. And because not everybody can see it, it's like a class ring meets a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
It's big.
It's so good.
Isn't it good?
I love it.
What's the stone in it?
It looks like a garnet, but I don't know.
Can I see?
What it is. Yes,
oh
please.
Oh my God. Wait, how did this happen? Tell us the like.
Well, he was kind of just showing it to me and it matches
obsessed.
My favorite Gucci purse like in the world. Like,
this like, is so
how,
like,
how does the story keep getting better?
Yeah. So wow.
It's like this, you know, rest in peace, his legacy, not the person, but Alessandro Michael. You know, at the height of his kind of time at Gucci, he had those bags with the patchwork. And I have one that has like gold grommets and a silver chain. And it's like my favorite bag ever. Like it's like the perfect, like, like sweet, but like punk and whatever. Yeah. My friends are always like, that's you in a purse.
Yes.
Like my absolute favorite purse. And this matched it perfectly. So I like put it on as a joke and I was like, oh, I actually really like this.
So good.
I think like, it's the sweetest thing I've
ever heard. And so then he was like, you can have it. And so my friends are getting such a kick out of it. They're like, you know, that means, even my mom, she was like, you know, that means something.
It sure does.
I mean, when a guy gives you his ring,
I
mean,
I
think that
pinned you.
Wow.
He pinned you.
He did.
Gosh, you guys are going steady for sure.
We are going steady.
My high school class ring was a pinky ring.
Oh, chic.
That is chic.
Like, why did I decide at 18 that I needed? I was like, yeah, I'm doing a pinky ring. And it had an amethyst. And I still have it somewhere.
I didn't get one.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
I don't know why I did. Like, why did I?
I love it.
Yeah.
Because it's a great souvenir. And now you can give it to somebody.
Yeah. A Cam, probably.
Cam will be so touched.
For my purple pinky ring.
Yes. He would love it. He would love it.
I mean, you were ahead of your time also. Yeah,
clearly.
I was like, I want no memorabilia of this horrible time of high school. Like, I was like, no, thank you.
That's the thing we have to teach our children. You're going to want to remember even the bad parts.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. Wow, absolutely love this.
Yeah.
It's great. Just the high school ring aesthetic is so, it's a good aesthetic, you know? It's
I mean, there's also a bit of a Taylor and Travis. Like, I mean, nothing about them is actually high school, but there's like something about their relationship that is.
100%. We were on a group text today debating if Joe Alwyn or Travis Kelce was more attractive. And somebody said that, as a point against Travis Kelce, that they reminded him.
It was me.
I couldn't remember if it was you or Lauren who said it.
He reminds me too much of like way too many guys I went to high school with for 100%. Me to find him attractive.
And Lauren said exactly. And I was like, that's actually like what does it for me, I think. I think that somehow that's like part of it for me where I'm like, you were like the most charismatic jock. I mean, we should have been so lucky to have had a charismatic jock like that in our high school.
I mean, yeah.
100%. I like, it's funny because my boyfriend was a football guy in high school and I was like the captain of the debate team in high school.
Totally,
like I was not hanging out with football players.
This is a romance novel.
Yeah.
This is a romance novel. I love it.
And so it has been, and I've like similar to Taylor, you know, our lives are not that different. I have never, I've like only dated these like artsy guys that, you know, media guy, like whatever that might be. So I've never kind of dated someone who has played sports in high school or was popular or would have a class ring to give a girl, like any of that. And so it has been kind of like, it's not like reliving, it's like healing some of the trauma
for
high school of like feeling rejected by the popular kids.
I think it is doing the same for Taylor. Yeah. I think in this way your life is actually a lot like Taylor's, because I think it is.
I agree.
Yeah. No, I think you guys are experiencing, are living parallel lives right
now. And like he is obsessed with her. She's the biggest star in the world, or one of them, arguably, don't cancel me, arguably one of the biggest stars in the world. And she has had these boyfriends that aren't always on the red carpet with her. They aren't always kind of
who aren't Swifties.
Yeah.
And he is a Swiftie.
Exactly. He wants to celebrate her. He's so proud of her. And she deserves that.
Yeah, we all do.
I understand that maybe you haven't dated a popular jock before.
To talk about Taylor for just one more minute here.
Yes,
at some point.
We can do it.
I know you. You're like, as if you would stop me. At some point, Thomas was cooking dinner a couple weeks ago, and I was giving him like a recap of that old, like the now old Wall Street Journal. Travis Kelce profile. Giving him the high points, because Thomas is just like not on social media. He doesn't see the same internet. It's like entirely different. So I have to give him a full report of things that are happening on like our internet. And as he's like chopping onions, he was like, do you think that Taylor's ever dated a Swiftie before? Is this the first one? I was like, wow, that is like really, that's really what it is. Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal was not a Swiftie.
Oh, no. I mean,
John Mayer was not
dated
a Swiftie.
Anybody who I think, I have not been attracted to any of her boyfriends except for Harry Styles. I mean, I think Travis Kelce's maybe the first true Swiftie. I think the other ones probably just appreciated her talent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I love this ring. It looks so good on you.
Thank you.
What else you got?
All right. So I have these glasses cleaners, lens wipes that I've become obsessed with, which is what I've brought for you guys.
There is nothing more satisfying than cleaning
literally your glasses.
Wait, yes. What are they? How did you find them?
I found them on Amazon, and they're totally like, they look like they're from the 80s, like the packaging.
Okay.
And they're called Care Touch. And I have now started buying them in like boxes of 200 and I mean, they're probably not great for the environment.
No. We all get to have a few exceptions. And yes. If the glasses cleaners are your exception, it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. And
because if it's not the glasses cleaner, it's like daily contact lenses. And that's also terrible for the environment.
Exactly.
Right. So, right.
Exactly. You can't win as someone with
you get a hall
subpar
pass.
Eyesight.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then there's something going on with glasses lately that I just feel like they get smudged really easily. I don't know if it's my makeup or if it's like new types of glass.
I think as a culture, we're all moisturizing a lot more than we used to. And I think that that's part of it.
That's funny because
I think we're smudging.
I was literally like my entire train ride here. I was trying to get foundation off my glasses. I was just like, how did it even get on here?
We're lotioning and potioning and our glasses.
That's true.
Are feeling the effect.
But that's why we look young.
That's why we look young. We look young,
and we can't see each other's faces.
Yeah. Exactly.
The blurring.
Wait, so what are they called again?
Care touch.
Care touch. Okay. Care touch.
I mean, an incredible name.
Yeah.
I know.
What makes them so good?
They're just like the perfect balance of alcohol, but like not too wet. And they just, they're like magic wipes.
And it's like a single serving wipe.
It's like it comes in a little wipe. Yeah. So you can like throw them in all your bags.
Honestly, we should all have these in our bags.
I agree.
I love it. Great.
And then I started leaving them for like different people to use. Like it's like the perfect thing to give people or when people need them. They're like, oh, I need a lens wipe. And you have one.
Yes.
Could not use that.
Yeah. And it's like good for your phone surface too, which is like germy. Let's be real.
This is a great thingy. Remember when Apple tried to tell us we could just never clean our phones? Yeah. Where they were just like, no, you can't touch. Nothing can touch this.
I don't remember that messaging never reached me.
Oh, I feel like it was like you can't clean any of your screens or it has to be like with the special screen cleaner or whatever,
Make a Genius Bar appointment.
And then exactly. And then like at the beginning of the pandemic, they were just like, just clean your phones. Just clean them. Like,
wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there were those people who were selling the like box that you would put your phone in that would shoot it with lasers that would clean it.
That's right.
Oh yeah, that's right.
A those rare disinfecting scam I never fall prey to.
Yeah. My mom got us those boxes the Christmas before the pandemic, and obviously my brothers and I both just like got rid of that, being like, what am I in my at that point 500 square foot apartment? Where am I keeping the box to disinfect my phone? And then obviously they weren't quite high demand 6 months later.
Yeah, you could have flipped that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, they were. People wanted them. I mean, that's such a great mom gift, actually, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like your phone is giving you germs.
It is truly a filthy surface.
I mean, it's disgusting. Yeah. People
But that's one of those things you just have to accept and live with and be like, I've lived this long with a filthy phone.
Yeah.
I will continue.
Well,
with.
You know, I do this. Doesn't you don't you don't think that does the
you
trick?
Just rub it against your pants.
Like
jeans.
Yeah, totally.
It's like our phones caused COVID. Yeah.
Has
anyone looked into that? We don't know. We don't actually know.
Exactly.
All right. What else? My new favorite candy right now is Jolly Rancher Chews.
Just
trying things.
No.
Is
no.
It, can I ask you to start from a place of what is the difference between it and a Starburst?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's like a Starburst, but with Jolly Rancher flavors.
Oh, okay. Which are better
and
stronger.
More intense.
Yeah.
It's more intense. They are so addictive. I like actually can't have them in the house.
Is it firmer than a Starburst?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So almost like a,
texturally, what is it?
Yeah. It's like.
Well, Laffy Taffy is a taffy. It's not.
Yeah, it's like.
God, I used to love Laffy Taffys. Now and Laters?
Now and Later.
Yeah,
that's
it might be
what
like
I was
now
conjuring.
And Later or like a High Chew.
Yeah. Okay.
Not
yeah.
as not even as soft as a High Chew.
Yeah. Somewhere between.
High Chew is the of the chew candies.
Obviously. Yeah. I mean, that's where the bar is.
High Chew is my favorite because like no matter who you're hanging out with, if you offer someone a High Chew, they always
so
say
excited.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the most exciting treat to find in your purse.
100%.
What flavor High Chew?
So I love strawberry.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm a mango.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
You're a mango?
Yeah.
Okay. I also do like the mango, but.
Yeah. Also because mango candy in the US is just rare. Fine. So that feels special. Jolly Rancher Chew, what flavors?
So strawberry is my favorite.
Okay. Yeah.
Again.
Does it come in a variety pack or can you buy a single
flavor? Variety pack.
Okay.
So from what I've seen, and it's very hard to find in most stores. Like I can only find it in this one grocery store in Brooklyn far. I like the strawberries, but the green apple is really good too. And reminiscent of that flavor.
It's like such a good puckery.
It is.
That is Jolly Rancher's, I would say, tent pole flavor.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I do think that one of Starburst's greatest moves as a brand was acknowledging that everybody just likes the red and pink ones the most. And then so now they just sell you those. In the favorites pack.
Because the Starburst yellow, I mean, that is just shit. Like, who wants that?
Who is eating that?
Yeah. Who is eating that?
Like, really suspicious of the person that's like, you know what's my favorite? Starburst.
This is a person who has, we're just not aligned. We're just not aligned.
100%.
So that's my hope for you and for Chewy Jolly Ranchers that they evolve to the point where they're.
I can get the favorite.
Get your favorite, or just get the singular, the green apple.
Yes,
you know.
Agreed.
I do like these companies also just exploring new like form factors with the same flavors of like those dumb little nerd.
I knew you were going to say the nerds
gummies,
clusters.
The nerd
I
gummies. Knew.
Which, by the way, in the previous episode where I talked about the decorate your own cupcake, nerds clusters were one of the cupcake toppings.
That's insane. But
of
like,
course it
I,
is.
The nerd's rope was an innovation, weird one. I don't know that we needed it. But then the fact that they chopped that thing up into clusters, I'm like, yes, like this. Yes. One of the problems with nerds is that they're these little tiny bitty things that are just getting everywhere. The flavor is so good. The crunch is so good. So satisfying.
You have always been an adult, as far as I can tell, from like the time you were a toddler. But your taste in candy is consistently so juvenile. Truly, what is more youthful than a not only nerds, but like nerds attached to a gummy.
Claire, is that what they are?
They're like a little, they have a little like sticky thing in the inside that holds all the nerds together and it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's perfect.
That does sound good.
Yes.
Claire, this will really like sell this for you. Mm-hmm. My mom used to make me go shopping with her and like give her feedback in the fitting room. I would be allowed to like pick out a candy, and I can consistently remember getting the nerds box with the strawberry and the grape on like each side and sitting in a fitting room. Eating nerds and being like, that doesn't fit. Try that. Like, I'll go out and get you another size at like age 7, you know. Yeah. That was the vibe.
Yeah. Nerds unsettle me. I do. It's too much, and the fact that you like drink them basically.
I did forget about the immediate shot value of it. Like you're just like sugar right in there. Yeah.
That's why I actually prefer the nerds clusters or the rope. Like that is kind of appealing to me, but the
they're much
taking
more civilized.
A shot, nerds is weird.
But I was thinking the same thing about the Jolly Ranchers, because the packaging is not sexy. Like it's like you would think like the chews are like hard to open. It's like such a weird wax paper cover.
Are they a square?
They're
cube?
Like a rectangle.
Okay, so like the original Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a chewy rectangle.
Okay, into that.
I need to try these.
Are you like a fruity candy person in general?
I'm not. I'm a chocolate person.
Oh, me too.
But I'm dating someone who is a child, so they always have candy in the house.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
And I am exploring all these new candies that I've never had before. And it's now this joke because I like literally come to their house and finish it all.
Yeah.
And then I will like buy him more and then eat that too. And it's just.
But you're like, no, but I'm restocking.
No, literally.
Yeah. Just so nice of me. Yeah.
Have you been to Bon Bon? Oh my God, you gotta go.
Oh.
Or take the kid. It's an American, but it's like Swedish inspired. I think the founders are Swedish candy shop. There's one in Williamsburg and one on the Lower East Side. So good. Oh. Very, very good Swedish candy.
And it's all different kinds of candy.
Yeah, it's a pick and mix.
Ooh, that does sound
good. It's very fun.
But you know, I'm a chocolate girl through and through. Okay. So this is a new exploration for me. All this
a new hobby.
Candy. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm love just like it. Snickers, Milky Way, Twix. Yeah. Like, give me all the Super Mars collection.
Yes. I love it.
I have this poem, but I don't have the actual poem because I just posted it, by Hala Aylan, who is this Palestinian psychologist and poet who performed at Meet the Moment. And she read this like beautiful, stunning poem about her connection to her homeland. And it was just like one of those moments where you're like, oh my God, this is like, it takes you out of, like we're all so like in the weeds, and social media is just not the most fun place in the world right now.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
saying that feels like something I shouldn't say.
No. Yeah. You can say
but
that.
You it's know what outright. I mean?
We're, like, yeah, no. It's
yeah,
a
like
disaster.
It's like we're in this like worm brain time where like you can't even just have a normal conversation without it descending into chaos.
Yeah.
It's without everything feeling like a live wire.
It's stunning how poorly suited for the moment social media is.
Yeah. Yeah. And just also, you know, I think that we have started to rely so much on influencers for information that we actually need to be getting from journalistic sources.
Yes.
And that's something as a journalist, I'm really struggling with, because obviously, like, I got my start in feminist blogging. Like, I want people to feel that they can express themselves to the extent that they want to express themselves with all of that passion.
You respect like opinion writing and like essay writing. Yeah. And, but.
Exactly. But, you know, a lot of what is distributed often is not fact-checked. It's not rigorous, you know, and it moves hearts and minds, but it also is an opportunity for a lot of disinformation to flow in ways that I think can be very dangerous and can, I think, leads to some of the feeling of, like, everything is a live wire and I can't say, you know, this thing that maybe, like, we may actually agree, but I'm, like, trying to say something a little bit more nuanced, or, you know, let's have a, you know, don't assume that if I say this one thing, I mean all of these things. Like, that's not,
I think, the hardest part of what's happening right now is this assumption that if you say one thing, you mean other things, and a complete inability for people to hold multiple ideas in that way.
Exactly.
It's like dualism. It's just this everything is black or white. We just have really trained ourselves to see everything as like a two-side.
No. We're in a worm brain, for brain time right now. And it's, I think that similar to the Trump moment, I do think that many of the ways that social media has developed has kind of encouraged, you are literally rewarded for saying something salacious that gets a lot of likes, that gets a lot of shares. And despite, I think, many efforts right now to kind of try and counter that with fact-checking, a lot of that stuff ends up backfiring too, right? Because then it reads as like censorship or, all of these kind of things that are happening because of our efforts to now try to control it. But the cat's kind of out of the bag. And now we really are in a moment where I don't think people can really even hear each other. And, and maybe that's not what this moment needs to be, but it's hard as someone who's worked in media for such a long time to be it's a problem when newsrooms and journalists feel like they can't actually say what they think is fully fair and true. That is a problem. Anyway, this is a long way of saying that's why I'm really looking to the arts right now for pushing us out of a little bit of that kind of contentious feeling of just anything I say is not good enough or right or is ever going to be right, to how about we push ourselves to express ourselves in ways that don't feel so I'm directing this at you.
Right.
I think captures human experiences.
What else do I have? Okay, Meg Thee Stallion's body.
You're the first person to bring a body to thingies, and I absolutely applaud it.
I was like, what are the things I'm just totally obsessed with? I just feel like she is... first of all, she came out of this. What is that loser's name that shot her? What is his name? What, we're all blanking because we don't like him. That's how irrelevant he is.
It's important to not remember his name.
True.
It's actually killing me. I read so much about this trial.
Oh, God. What is his name?
Tory Lanez.
Not Tony. Tory Lanez.
Yeah.
Whose music I actually liked 7 years ago. Yeah. And, I just feel like she's giving revenge body in the most severe way. She always looks amazing.
Yes.
Like every dress, I'm just like, oh, my God, girl. But she's also she looks beautiful without makeup, with makeup. I just think she's the hottest bitch out right now.
She is, and just a very compelling character, period. Yes. No one should have to go through what she went through with that trial, but watching the way that all unfolded, I was just like, wow, what a force this person is.
I think that's what...
Thank you for bringing a body to thingies. Yes, wow. Yeah, really important.
A body, adi, adi.
Exactly.
Exactly.
The other thing is, can we hear a little bit more about this book?
Yeah, and what absolutely. To expect? Yeah, okay. Let's see what to expect. I'm at the end part where I'm just like, who wrote this book?
Right.
What is in here even?
Is this my experience? Yeah. Who could say?
Yeah. I mean, so the book is, it is a polemic. It's kind of, the subhead is a workplace reckoning. So it really is about my own career starting as this indie blogger who then ended up the number two at Teen Vogue and a job interview with Anna Wintour and kind of what I learned in my ascent and kind of ending up in this position of power without feeling like I had a lot of power. Being told that I was living the dream, but being kind of miserable in all of that. And it's a bit of an exploration about kind of where is this kind of ambition that women are expected to be held to? Where is it ultimately leading us?
Yes.
And, in a lot of ways, I think, and as young people are kind of showing us, one of the things I find so fascinating about working with so many younger people is they're kind of just like, yeah, you did that, but I'm trying to do something different. I'm not trying to be burned out like you are. I'm not trying to be stressed out. By the time I get to my 40s, it's like, you worked hard and you still can't buy a house. So what are we, maybe we shouldn't live in New York, but still
those might be separate problems.
I think that, I try to kind of really look at where and how we still kind of need women's ambition. And I really look at the kind of girl boss cancellations and how, people, it's obviously you want to hold problematic leaders accountable.
Yeah, of course.
But the way that people kind of chomped at the bit to tear women down in this way that kind of became a cautionary tale for younger women to be like, see what happens if you get too ambitious, get too big for your britches and you're going to get canceled.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's not great either. If we're going to say that like lean in didn't work and girl bosses are bad, then what is good like about women's ambition?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of what the book is
about. This is such an important question. I'm dying to know the answer.
I don't know if I answer it, but I do explore
it. Dying to know an answer.
Do you follow Kim France at all? So
Kim
France was the former editor-in-chief of Lucky and
created Lucky.
Yeah. So she had been working on a memoir about her experiences and she eventually just tabled it and was like, I don't think I have it in me to like put this book out, but she has released essays that would have been hypothetically part of this memoir that talk about what it was like to be the editor-in-chief of this Condé magazine, to be living the quote dream, to be like so depressed, to
the
chronic migraines,
unhappy.
Like going through like a really bad divorce, like what, just like all of these things, you know, that were outward signaling is like, this is someone who's made it, whatever that means. And just that she was at the lowest point in her life.
Yeah.
She has a book about this?
She has essays.
Substack, basically about it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm going to
look that up. You should, they're really good. Yeah. They're really good. Yeah.
She left Condé in 2010.
Wow. Yeah,
she was early to the like leaving the girl boss.
Yeah, that's right.
The exodus.
Yeah.
Anything else we should talk about?
I don't know.
Covered it.
That's the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was lovely.
This was awesome.
Oh my God, loved it.
This has been a production of Dear Media, and we are so grateful to the talented team over there for helping us make this podcast happen, especially our wonderful producer, Olivia Mead. You can follow us on Instagram at athingor2hq. If you have ideas for the show or want to advertise, email podcast@athingor2hq.com. Find show notes and sign up for our newsletter at athingor2hq.com. And if you love our show, you'll also want to join our Geneva. Lots of good chatter happening there. Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.